merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, the third chapter, beginning to read at the first verse and reading through to the tenth verse. We're dealing with that great call that God calls Moses out of a burning bush. And God represents himself when Moses asks who God is. God says, I am who I am, which is a wonderful, wonderful expression. Moses was raised by Pharaoh's family and understood at a young age that he was connected with the people the Egyptians oversaw. They were slaves. And Moses, in a fit of rage, kills one of the Egyptian taskmasters who was beating a Jew. He understood then what his identity was. He also understood how frightened he was of what might befall him, and so he ran east, and he found himself becoming a shepherd and living a life of relative ease, I suppose, beneath Mount Sinai, beneath the mountain which in later years he would receive the Ten Commandments. And as a shepherd, this wonderful burning bush takes place, and Moses, at the age of 80, is called back to where he fled from, Egypt, in order to rescue his people. He was somewhat unwitting, and he did not want to follow God's will, but in the end he assented, and the rest is history, so to speak. Hear God's word to us. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, by Mount Sinai, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And it was thought back then that if you peered at the face of God, that you would die, that no one could do that. The Lord said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and other peoples. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Soil has always been an important part of the biblical narrative. Adam is made out of soil, out of the earth. And Jesus tells that wonderful parable about the sower, that seeds are thrown into various kinds of soil, and some of the seeds sprout and become fruitful. That's a metaphor for fruitful Christians, whereas other seeds fall on poorer ground and do not blossom and grow the way that God would have them. And then there's that wonderful expression in the Apostle Paul when Paul writes that we are called to be rooted and grounded in love. We are called to be rooted and grounded in God's love so that we have love to give. that there is a special place in Scripture for holy ground, that Moses stands upon holy ground in the middle of the Midian desert, overlooking, or underlooking rather, Mount Sinai. And we might ask ourselves, what is holy ground for us? And do we need holy ground? And my answer is yes. That especially at this time in our country's life where shooting after shooting occurs, at this time in our national life where we see all sorts of massacres taking place in schools and colleges and albeit churches as well, that markers are erected and people come back to them because they realize that there is holy ground there. And I would ask each one of you, what is holy ground for you? What has God demarcated for you that would fall into that rubric and category of holy ground? Might be a cemetery plot, you know, where a loved one has died. And that every so often you go there. And you know, as a Christian, you know, your loved one's spirit is with God and everything, but that plot of land represents holy ground because that's where the mortal remains of one you've loved rest, and it's good to be there. It's good to be there. Holy ground may be a childhood home. I don't know whether any of you have gone back to your childhood home. I had the distressing experience a few years ago to take a friend. I said to her, you know, I'm going to take you back to where I grew up. And, you know, I don't think much has changed there. And so we went there. And the home that my father built for my mother and myself had been razed. I didn't know that. And a McMansion stood in its place. And that was so discouraging until I saw a little bit of patch of the backyard where I used to play wiffle ball a lot. And as a baby, my father had blown up one of these inner tube pools, you know, and I had splashed around in that as a one-year-old and two-year-old, and I felt, it's still holy ground, and in spite of that monstrosity that now bestrides most of the land there. Holy ground, what is it? I had the opportunity to marry a couple some years ago on Wyndham High Peak. If you go up to Catskill, take the Catskill exit and you go west, the furthest peak, the northernmost peak over 3,500 feet in the Catskills is Wyndham High Peak, and it's a beautiful, beautiful mountain. And so one winter day, this couple said, we want to get married. Can you marry us right away? And I said, sure. I'll just get the church ready. Oh, no, we're not going to the church. We're going to get married on top of Wyndham High Peak. And I said, but there's snow on Wyndham High Peak. Yeah, but we have snowshoes. Do you have snowshoes? I said, I have a pair of snowshoes. We're on our way. So I married them on a snowy day on top of Wyndham High Peak. And I got a letter from them recently. This was about 10 years ago that I married them. And they said, you know, that's holy ground for us. Every February 10th, we go up to Wyndham High Peak. And we renew our vows to one another. And they said to me, that's holy ground. There's a wonderful story in 2 Kings 5 where Nahum, who is a great Syrian war officer, has leprosy and he needs to be healed, and no one in his kingdom can heal him. So he goes to Jerusalem, and the king is worried that Nahum, who's a general, might invade the country. And he says, don't you have a healer who can heal me? And they direct him to Elisha. And Elisha says, Elisha's reading the paper or doing something, and he says, look, I don't need to make a big deal about this. Just go wash in the River Jordan and you'll be healed of your leprosy. And Naaman's a little offended by this because he's treated in a rather debonair manner. Nevertheless, he does what Elisha tells him to do. He is healed. And then he says, you know, I can't stay here as much as I want to. I serve a pagan Lord, and I'm a pagan, but I only believe in the God of Israel. But can I take 2 mule loads of the ground around your tent? Because that ground now is holy ground. And wherever I go, I'm taking the holy ground of my healing with me, wherever I go. There was a man I worked with when I worked at the Addiction Institute, and he had an alcohol problem, which was quite serious. But he worked hard and diligently on that issue, and in 6 months' time, he had, through the help of the group, he had beaten it. And he said, the first time I realized that I was healthy, the first time I realized that I was whole, the first time I realized that life opened up for me in a great and wonderful way. So I was on 42nd Street, on 6th Avenue and 42nd Street, and it had just been raining, and I had been drenched, and he was coming to the group at Roosevelt Hospital around Columbus Circle. So I was drenched with water, and it didn't matter to me, and I looked down, and there was a pool of water on the side of the row there on a corner, and I saw in this dirty water there were lines of oil, and it made a beautiful rainbow color. And he said, no one would see, they would just see dirty water, but I saw something more. And he said to me, now whenever I think of my healing, I go to that street corner, whether it's raining or not, because that street corner is holy ground to me. That street corner is holy ground. There was a wonderful professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. He taught his students Old Testament. He taught this text for 45 years. And his students loved him and cared about him. Nothing better than an inspiring professor, is there? And finally, he had to retire. His wife was ill. He was ill. The last day of class on that spring day, his students, which numbered about 20, took off their shoes outside of the classroom and went into the class. And when he asked them why they were doing that, he said, because whenever we come into this room, and whenever generations in the past came into this room and listened to you lecture, we realized that it was God speaking to us. We realized that we stood on holy ground. And the best thing we could do to honor you, Professor, was to take off our shoes, because you've been such an inspiration to us all. That's holy ground, and it's so important. And I would say to you, you know, if you're a little discombobulated with your life, Yogi Berra said, who died recently, he said, you know, when you come to a fork in the road, what do? You take it. Well, life often isn't that easy. When we come to a fork in the road, often we're not sure which road to take, which path to take. And sometimes life becomes difficult and we're faced with a number of decisions, and we pray about it, and you know, we're not sure what the Lord's will is. God is not speaking to us perhaps as clearly as God spoke to Moses. And then I think what we're called to do is just to go to a place that has been holy to us, holy ground, and just to sit there. Go to those places where we've heard the voice of God call us in the past. Go to those places where we've sensed the presence of God in our lives in those past. Just make time out of our busy day to go there. And to experience the presence of God all over again. Because if we do, then I think the future will look a lot clearer than maybe it does in the present tense. We need to do that. We need to practice that. Where is holy ground for you? Where have you sensed the presence of God for you? Where has God been so real to you? So now, in the dark night of your soul right now, when you're not sure whether even God exists, let alone that God is for you, repair to holy ground so that you can find your base, find your Lord, find His Spirit living and renewed in you once again. That's what we're called to do. And the second thing and final thing I'd say about holy ground is when we look at the third chapter of Exodus, we realize that the burning bush challenged Moses. I mean, here he was, 80 years of old. He was perfecting his golf swing. He went to the senior citizens' place down in Hurley here, where he got free soup in the winter. You know, life was good. He had his father-in-law. He had a livelihood. Life was good. He felt good about himself. He took multivitamins. The doctor was right nearby. Life was good. And then God shook him up. And God challenged him. And God said, you know, your life doesn't end with ease. Your life is going to end with a challenge. And because you're 80, that doesn't mean that greatness has passed you by. Greatness is just beginning for you. Let us take note, all of us who are white-haired and graying. God challenges us at whatever age we're at, and maybe for many of us, the best is yet to come. Believe that. I was talking to a young woman the other day. She said, my life is over. You know, I don't hear the presence of God. I don't see Him. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 45. I said, the best is yet to come. You have plenty of time. And I would say that whether we're 70 or 80 or 90. God challenges us to help others. God challenges us to be more than we thought we ever could be. That's where the burning bush is. God lays down the challenge and said, look, do you want to live a life of ease or do you want to live a life of meaning? Do you want to pull back from the fray or do you want to go forward and make a difference not only in your lives but the lives of other people? When I was a teenager, when I was 16, our youth group down in Spring Valley, New York, every year would go down into the inner city in New York City. And we'd work in a drug rehabilitation center. And I got to be friends with a fellow named Ramon. I was 16 at the time, and I think he was 20 or 21. And he had had a terrible heroin habit. He told me about his testimony, and it's always good. As a young man, it really affected me. He said, you know, I went to the street corner, and he showed me where it was, near where the rehabilitation center was. And he said, the dealer was always there, but he wasn't there that day. And instead, I heard the voice of God, he said. And God said to me, either you can go the way you're going, or he said, God challenged me to just go a different direction. And he said, here I am, 19, 20 years of age he was at the time. He said, I've gotten my GED. I'm going to be off to CUNY, to college. And he said, God made the biggest difference in the world for me. But God challenged me right where the temptation for me was the greatest, right on that street corner where I used to buy my heroin. So let's remember that God is a God of challenge. Man, we should never be bored with our lives. You know? We should never be saying, what should I do with my life? Or, oh, the best years are over. Please. That's not the God we find in Scripture. It certainly is not. The God we find in Scripture has said, yeah, you've had a good run, but man, where I'm going to up the ante. Because there's a need for you in this world. There's a need for you to use all the gifts I've given you. There's a need for you to transform who's ever in your purview. Believe that. Live that. Where is your holy place? Where is holy ground? Find it and get excited about your life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please greet one another this morning. Right? You want to, during announcements?